2 years ago as vice president, I was proud to cast the tie-breaking vote that sent the bill. That gave Medicare the power to negotiate and let it get to the president's desk. And I was proud when our president, Joe Biden, signed that bill into law.
Don't you love how they're portraying this? And this is one of the things we're going to dive into today. First off, what she's talking about there is what we have told you on this program, like all of this week, in that she is actually bragging in that audio that you heard. She's bragging about having cast that tie-breaking vote for the inflation, not really Reduction Act. It's not even really, that's not what it even is. But she was bragging about having tied or broken the tiebreaker vote for that. And that's the very thing that allowed for the greater, the whole taxation on tips and all of that stuff, the rating of the Medicare Part D, I mean, all of it for the Green New Energy. We talked a little bit about that this week. So this is all leading up to her big economic unveiling, right? Her big economic proposal, which she's delivered, well, kind of, in part. I mean, I've got some questions, and I'm not the only person who has questions about this. Apparently, the Wall Street Journal also has questions about it, too, because there's some unclear parts of this, particularly as it relates to the home buying thing. But she's bragging right there, and I want, that should be an ad. Yeah. It should be an ad for Republicans. The fact that it's not just blows the mind, because that's one of the craziest things right there that she's done. And she's bragging about it like it's a great thing, like it's this hugely fantastic thing. So, and we all know it's not. So welcome to the program, Dana Loesch with you. We are at the top of this first hour, and I've got a lot of stuff to discuss with you today, including this. We're going to start, and we're going to get into the weeds a little bit with the Santa Claus election, because as you know, she's pushed out, I guess, the most policy you could say that someone is, you know, pushed out, but she has pushed out there her economic policy, and it's bad. It is as bad as you might imagine it would be. We're looking at, goodness, the price controls. And we got a little bit of that already the other day. We got the price controls. We're looking at, taxpayer-funded subsidy for first-time home buyers. We're looking at that. We're going to get into all the price control stuff, too. We're looking at the child tax credit. She's hitting that. We're looking at whatever they mean by eliminating medical debt. I don't even understand what that means. Eliminating medical debt. And then, of course, you know, the tax on tips thing. So it's the Santa Claus election. Now, the Washington Post had a piece where they said, you know, maybe if your opponent is calling you a communist, don't propose price controls. The Washington Post actually said that in an op-ed, which I thought was fascinating. Then you have this piece from the Wall Street Journal this morning that was even like seeking some sort of clarification as it relates to the home buying, that whole home buying credit that she's, you know, getting into. The economic speech, all of this. She's focusing on the corporate, all blah, 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 the price controls, et cetera, et cetera. And they're even wondering, too, because she's talking about like a tax incentive for businesses, like home buyers, even. She wants to build like a whole bunch of new houses. The construction of 3 million new housing units in her first 4 years in office, and a new tax incentive for companies that build homes for first time buyers. It's part of her plan. She's speaking today in Raleigh, North Carolina, and this is what she's going to be focusing on. And this is, they're trying to make the stupidest play ever for working class voters. I mean, it's really dumb the way that they're approaching this. And her plan too. I mean, let's just start with the price. Let's just start with the first off. Let's start with the price controls that we talked about the other day. Did you realize? I know we all talked about Kroger, but Kroger was an outlier. So one of the things that she's pitching is this. Like she wants to control the prices. She's talking like it's, you know, it's corporate greed that prices are expensive at the grocery store instead of it being government spending that's driving all of this up. Now, yesterday we talked about, you know, the and even with Charles Payne earlier this week, the profit margin for Kroger and other grocery stores. Kroger was at 1.4%, but last year, the average profit margin for supermarkets, on average, it's between 1% to 3%. Last year, the absolute average was 1.18%. Kroger was the outlier at 1.4%. They want the FTC to be able to determine what the cost of like milk is, say in like Nashville. They want the FTC to be able to look and say, we think this box of pasta should be X amount of dollars in Fort Worth. They want the FTC to make the determination on what costs what. And the point is, and the, well, the question is rather, why does the government get to do that? This is all so stupid. Who decides what the price of this is? Define excessive profit, because I hear all of this stuff about corporate greed, but I never hear anything about political greed. I mean, this is, who gets to determine this? Maybe stop taxing the stuff if you want to lower costs. You know, maybe, how about that? But this is all part of it. Now, the subsidy for first-time homebuyers. Let's get into this. The Wall Street Journal, as I said, they had a piece on this where they talked about how it includes, she's calling for the construction of 3 million new housing units, her first 4 years in office, a tax incentive for companies to build homes for first-time buyers. All of this part of this emerging economic plan. The housing proposals build on a series of plans from the Biden administration. He wanted 2 million new homes. She's saying, well, 2 million is not enough. Let's do three. Let's do 3 million new homes. And I don't know. Housing costs influenced by interest rates because of government spending. Inflation is because the government's printing money and everything else can't keep up fast enough. That's what all of this is. Now, the campaign, there's not a lot of detail as to the tax incentive for the builders. That actually is supposed to require congressional approval. Anything that's like, you know, money origin has to, you know, it has to originate in the House. So that's something that has to actually go through Congress. But they said they want to lower the tax liability of home builders to build affordable homes. And they'll build affordable homes. That's what they said. And they said it was the most logical way of giving builders an incentive to boost supply. So this is the dumbest thing I think I've ever heard. So you're trying to subsidize demand. That's what that is. You're subsidizing demand. This is so stupid. This is so dumb. But this is what they're doing. I mean, that doesn't work. And for buyers and developers, that's the thing. They're a little bit scant on the details. Harris also wants to propose $40 billion to help local governments develop solutions to the lack of housing supply. Well, what is that supposed to do if it's federal economic policy that makes these determinations? Now, remember, the Biden administration had proposed $20 billion. This is doubling it. This is doubling it. This is all taxpayer funded. All of it. All of this is taxpayer funded. They keep saying inflation is slowing. No, it's not. It is absolutely not. So all it's the Santa Claus election. They want to try to freebie their way into stuff. Taxpayer. I mean, consider this too. As we got the child tax credit, first year for newborn. They're looking at a couple of other things we're going to get into. The Medicare thing, which we talked about, and we're going to dive into. We're actually spending. We're paying more in interest on federal debt than we do for Medicaid and defense. And defense is the only thing that we're constitutionally obligated to pay. We are, this is a nightmare. This is going to make it so much worse. These are some Marxist, seriously Marxist principles. So the housing subsidy, $25,000 in down payment support for first-time homeowners. There's going to be more generous support if you're a first-generation homeowner. That sounds kind of biased. This is going to be announced today. They say that the working families who pay their rent on time for 2 years, buying their first home, they can get $25,000 in down payment assistance. We got the 3 million new housing units, the tax incentive for starter homes, lower rent. They want to take on corporate and major landlords to lower rent. Wow. And they propose that $40 billion fund to deal with the lack of housing supply. They're all about subsidizing demand. $40 billion to find solutions. What the hell does that mean? That sounds like $40 billion to launder money. And guess who's going to be paying this? The middle class is going to be paying this. And if you don't think that that's accurate, if you think that my numbers are incorrect somehow, then I would refer you to the tax. There's a great actual write-up based on the publicly available tax data on the government website, which more people should take advantage of looking at because your tax dollars pay for it. It is the entirety of tax cuts from 2001 to 2017 that were studied, and over 70% of them went to the middle and lower classes. This whole tax cuts for the rich thing is an economically illiterate BS slogan for the stupid. Because it's a lie on top of it. An absolute lie. So this idea that it's, oh, it's the tax cuts for the rich that are getting it. Over 70% for the 16-year period went to, 17-year period went to middle and lower classes. And it's still the same. So this is where we're at economically. Now, coming up, we're going to get into, I got to tell you something. It might be unpopular to say, but the tax on tips is one of the stupidest things that I've heard anybody propose, any party, anytime, anywhere. It's actually something that built off of Biden's dumb proposal back in 2020. I'm going to explain to you in detail why the no tax on tips is A, not workable, B, Marxist, and C, unfair. I understand that there's a libertarian strain that says, yes, we should want the government to take less of our taxes or less of our dollars. I agree with you. This is not the way to do it. And I'll explain why. So we got a lot to get into as we roll towards headlines. We're in a bad economic period and it's only going to get worse. ReadyWise is our partners. They help bring you free radio. And they just want to make sure that you are prepared for whatever life throws your way. And the thing with ReadyWise is you know exactly where your survival food, it's premium survival food, you know exactly where it's coming from. You know the chain of command from the word go. All these meals are made with high quality U.S. ingredients, and they're all packed in a state-of-the-art U.S. plant sent out from this plant. And they have two offers for you right now. First off, you can get 20% off any regularly priced item at ReadyWise.com when you use promo code Dana at checkout. And then they also have their 72-hour food kit. Buy one, get one. This is $100, but $50 for the buy one, get one. It comes, each includes two boxes, 12 pouches of premium survival food, all three hot snacks, all of it, over 11,000 total calories in each kit. And everything's freeze-dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare, just add water, 25-year shelf life. It will be ready for you, premium food, when you need it. Visit ReadyWise.com and use promo code Dana20 at checkout for 20% off any regularly priced item. And don't forget to buy one, get one 72-hour food kit. That's ReadyWise.com, promo code Dana20 for 20% off.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So first up, apparently they say, I've read this studies like this before, lacking purpose in life could signal cognitive decline. I can't imagine not doing anything. That's like I cannot stand sitting still when I have time off. I cannot imagine not doing anything. I can't imagine not having a project, not doing something. But they did this study, blah, 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 Journal of Neurology, and I don't care. But they did research that has been done a million times before. Yes, you should have like a purpose later in life. Duh. Stay productive. Idle hands are the devil's workshop. There's a reason why all your grannies and grandpas said it. Shake Shack and Serve Robotics have rolled out autonomous sidewalk delivery robots in Los Angeles. Those things are going to get totally jacked. How they look like these cute little bots. They go out. They send little bots out with their little food in it. They're trying to cut down on delivery costs through automation. Everything's going to be automated. Robots are going to run the world. And so we need to run the robots. So they said that they're sending these out to deliver food, and we are going to completely see those jacked. There's going to be a lot of free hamburgers for people. Let's see. In California, a city reached an ultra-rare $1 trillion real estate home value mark, which means fewer people can even afford to live there. Why would anybody want to avoid? Why would anybody want to live there in the first place? They said a California city. I'll save you the click. It's flipping Anaheim. I hate when people do this. They're like, oh, it's surprising. Shut up. No one loves your stories and your banal writing enough to sit here and suffer through this godforsaken clickbait. It's Anaheim. There you go. The Disneyland place. I saved you a click. Ransomware group claims it hacked the Washington Times and it's hosting a data auction on the dark web. What kind of data? Like, I'm just curious. They said that it's a conservative media entity. It's a cyber crime gang. And they said you can bid on this impressive data. Why would you want it? I'm just curious. They said that they've listed the data at 5 Bitcoin worth a little over $295,000. Why would you want it? Like, what are you going to get out of it? I don't understand. Like, what's the point of it? Let's see here. Ooh, Kim.com is set to be extradited from New Zealand to the United States. Yeah, they signed the extradition order for the Mega Upload founder 12 years after the FBI ordered a raid over file sharing. So he follows me on X, facing criminal charges related to the defunct file sharing website Mega Upload. So he's set to be extradited. You know, he's a big time, like, right leaning person, right? Everybody knows that. Why? Yeah. So they signed the extradition order. We'll see what happens. The Democrats don't like him. I know that much. They do not like him. So coming up, I'm going to explain, no offense to anybody, how no tax on tips is a Marxist thing and why we just need no tax, period. That's what we need to just go full on there. Stay with us. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies. Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that what I can while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it hits hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Harris has just declared that tackling inflation will be a day one priority for her. It's going to be day one, but day one really for Kamala was 3.5 years ago. Where has she been?
Yeah.
And why hasn't she done it? Why hasn't she done it?
That's what he needs to keep saying over and over again. I don't care about any fights. Say that a million times over again. And stand in front of everyday essentials, everyday items. I saw some honey bunches of oats back there on that table. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Bottom of this first hour. Obviously, you can listen around the country. We got the simulcast, Channel 347 DirecTV, streaming also at Rumble, where the conversation happens, and X. Hold this whole thing. I don't know. This is going to be interesting to see the polling that comes out from this, because she's been barely leading him and they've been tied in a number of other places. But I just don't see, especially when everyone's broke, how this is going to work out when they start polling people. Okay, so what do you think about price controls and all of this stuff? There was a really great piece that was over. I can't even believe I'm saying this. God help me. It's been circulated on X and I've had it saved. But it's on NPR, of all places. And it's this woman, her name is Annie Valero, and it talks about how Annie Valero, who lives in Venezuela, what it's like to go grocery shopping in Venezuela. Now, why is this important? Why is this important right now? Because all the supermarkets are government-controlled in Venezuela. It is Kamala Harris's dream. All of the food that sits on the shelves, all of the everyday items in Venezuela is subject to federal price controls. Right? Annie Valero says that to this NPR reporter. She's like, well, I got to go to the grocery store today. This is back in 2015, this article. She didn't want to go to the grocery store that particular day. It was Monday. And if she didn't go to the grocery store on Monday, they were going to make her wait almost a whole week to go and buy, to be able to go to the grocery store again. Because see, when you have price controls cause shortages, and then they have to restrict who can go buy what and when. That is how Venezuela operates with its price controls that Kamala Harris is proposing. So Valero, this housewife in Venezuela, was telling this NPR reporter, who was shocked by this, by the way. This NPR reporter could not believe that it was this bad. She says that people were allowed in these state-run supermarkets only 2 days per week. And they make this determination based on the numbers on their ID card. And the system, Ms. Valero explained to the NPR reporter, was put into place to prevent people from buying more than they needed and then turning around and reselling it on the black market at a huge cost advantage to them, that huge markup. What some might call cane price gouging. That would be price gouging. And it's amazing because Venezuela is such a beautiful country, so rich in natural resources. They have so much oil. Oh my gosh, you could have the Venezuelan Riviera down there. You really could. But their economic administration, their mismanagement has just killed all of that. Low oil, high inflation. They don't even give, you know, the government of Venezuela, I think it's been like 20 years now, they haven't even given regular statistics on their economy. They think that the inflation there, and this was back in 2015, they think it was north of 100% annually. Now, they have these rules about where people can go to make their purchases, when they can go to make their purchases. And the mother, this housewife in Venezuela, Ms. Valero, again, I can't believe NPR wrote this, but this is back in 2015. I'll give them credit where due. She's telling this shocked NPR reporter, her children, two girls, 7 and 9 years old, they have to stay home from school on the day that she goes shopping. And they have to stay indoors with the door locked because she spends all day, the mom, all day standing in line at the grocery store. And she can't go and pick up her children after class. And her husband, who works, also has to go with her. They take their 6-month-old baby. Her husband has to go with her. Why is this? Why is it like such an ordeal? He literally has to take a day off of work. And by taking a day off work, he doesn't get vacation. He has to skip a day at work at the auto repair shop that he works at because he has to help look after the baby and fight off thieves that would rob them of their grocery bags. And the reporter from NPR learns real quick that if they go to a state-run store and there's no lines outside, that means there's no food inside. And good luck getting meat. The NPR reporter noted that it was a lot of unplugged display cases and it's a bad odor. The mother is able to get 3 cans of sardines and managed to find some diapers for her 6-month-old. When they check out, the NPR reporter says it's like clearing customs in a hostile foreign country. The clerk looks at the mother's ID card, tells her to hold her index finger over a fingerprint scanner. And they scan the merchandise, and then they inform her that because of rationing, she can only buy 2 of the 3 cans of sardines. And then she and her husband have to produce their baby's birth certificate to prove that the baby is theirs, and they really do need the diapers. True story. This is 2015 NPR. This NPR reporter is shocked by all this. Absolutely shocked. We're not, but they are. The mother says, it's such a waste of time, and we have to do it every week. My husband risks losing his job because he has to go with me. He has to fight off thieves. And she says, on top of it, we can only buy two of each item. Everything is scarce. They have less money to import food because of oil prices, the way they run their economy. The price controls, it makes it not very profitable for farms to do business. It makes it not very profitable for businesses to produce products. And the Maduro always blamed smugglers. It's so stupid. And then the shopping controls don't work, though. And here's the fascinating thing about price controls. When the government controls prices, the black market won't. On the streets, there are black market vendors, the NPR reporter notes, selling eggs and chicken and all kinds of fish. But just to get a couple of pounds of beef or tuna would eat up about a quarter of the family's entire monthly salary. All they had, all they got at their grocery store were two cans of sardines. They had to go back with only two cans of sardines. They have a dwindling supply of rice and pasta. And then they have to go on another grocery run. In 5 days, the husband's got to miss work again. The girls have to skip school again because the husband's got to fight off these. And that's how they do their grocery shopping. Venezuela has price controls. This is what Kamala Harris is proposing here in the United States with price controls. It is one of the dumbest things, one of the dumbest proposals. Even the Washington Post says, again, when your opponent's calling you a communist, maybe don't propose price controls. But this is just one part of Kamalanomics. Just one part. We're going to be giving away $25,000 gifts to people. Instead of making the housing market more affordable by getting the government out of everything, instead of requiring the government to spend less, I'll be damned, they're going to spend more. Do the quick math on the millions of people times $25,000. Just go ahead. Figure out how much I get you. And the only relief in all of this, the only relief that they're proposing, if you want to call it that, it's a trick. It's a scam. It's no tax on tips. That's the only thing. Why do I not like this plan? You should like it, Dana. This is about having the government get less of someone's hard-earned dollars. Well, I'm not disputing that. But is it, though? Is it really? Let's look at it. Let's take a peek at this, shall we? First off, let me ask you a very important question. What about non-tipped workers? What makes the server better than the cashier? Or the dishwasher? See? All of this is coming to a head because as I complained, and I was attacked for complaining about the tax cuts not being made permanent when they passed in 2017, this is why we're having this conversation right now. Tip workers make an average of about $6,000 on top of their base wages. This is from 2018. And it's a small amount. $38 billion sounds like a major amount to us, but in D.C., that's not a lot of money, which is, again, insane to say. And only in D.C. would you say that that's, you know, not a lot of money. But that's the latest IRS figures. The IRS, especially when you consider they collected $7 trillion in overall taxes. It's not a revenue problem. It's a spending problem. What no tax on tips are, and that it's coming from both parties, it's a campaign promise. But it is not a sustainable, well-thought-out policy proposal, nor is it well-thought-out tax reform. It doesn't get to the heart of one of the problem, the government overspending, or the fact that our tax system is constructed to treat different types of income unequally. You are penalized if you are successful. You are penalized if you don't have if you have a skill set. I also think that it's another step, another way to force universal income. Now, here's the thing. Democrats are also incorporating demands for a higher minimum wage on top of this. But the problem, again, is that you are reducing incentive for a revenue stream that is based on incentivization. And I look at this, there was a great, and we're going to talk a lot more about this, but there was a really great comparison. If you look at, like, for instance, the difference between, you know, a server and a cashier, right? And this is it's a big issue. Compare the server to the cashier, because what this does is it's not growing the economy. You are also unfairly targeting a very small subset of workers, and you are ignoring the overall burden carried by the majority. Why is it fair to ask some lower income workers to foot a tax bill that is going to be several times higher, double, maybe triple, than other lower income workers? Do you see what I'm saying here? Why can't the tax code treat all income fairly if we must have one? This is the equity that we're talking about, except it's not even equity because it's so singularly applied. I mean, this is, this is just a weird proposal. And Kane says that he sees it as a tax credit, except it's really not a tax credit, though.
Well, I see it as, like, when you get a credit from buying something, this is on your income.
Though. Right.
So for me, it's just that little subset of people that you talk about. It's not policy. There are tax loopholes, quote unquote, that people take advantage of.
No, I know that. And, I know that.
Right. And so I just see it as that. You know what I mean?
I, like, don't.
Yeah.
I there was a really great piece, an analyst at the Tax Foundation, Alec Marinescu, who discussed this. He said, if you're comparing, like, say, well, let's just take the server and the cashier again. Say both of them earn $34,000 a year, right? They both get about $34,000 a year. Under the tax code currently, they both have the same baseline tax liability. Yeah. Maybe like, what, $2,000, even if half of her earnings are from tips. But if the tips are exempted from income taxes, then the cashier still owes $2,000 and the waitress maybe owes like, you know, a few hundred, like $600. Right. So it's weird. It's like a promotion of inequality through a subset of workers. Yes. And it's such a tiny, tiny target.
And it goes to the problem that we've talked about often on the show, where the government creates these issues with all the problems with their code, the tax code, this progressive tax code that we have and everything else. And then they try to do these little things to address the people that are affected negatively by their tax code.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, I think Harris should have to answer why she thinks that it's fair for certain low income workers to pay tax bills that are going to be like three times higher than other workers who use the same amount, because that's exactly what this is. Except both sides are proposing it. We've got more on the way. Our partners that bring you free radio, I'm going to see them this weekend, our good friends at Caltech, the P15, the lightest, the thinnest double stack 9mm on the market. It's lighter and thinner than my 43X. And when I first was reading the specs for the P15, I'm like, no way. There's no way. Because I'm like, 43X was like a little cricket. This is amazing. The P15, you have two versions. You have the metal version and the polymer version. Of course, I mean, you know, these are the inventors of the micro compact pistol category. So, of course, they're going to perfect it with the P15. You get to choose, it comes with two mags. So, you get to choose which one you want to run with. Standard 15 round magazine, got minimal pinky extension. If you went super concealability, you got the flush fit double stack mag that holds 12 rounds. Tritium and fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber optic 2-dot rear, keeps you on target any situation. It's just absolutely ideal. And I got to tell you, I have both, but I really, really love the metal frame version because I love that walnut grip. It's just so James Bondish. You know, it's just a very classic look, very great feel, and it's ideal for concealed carry self-defense. And, of course, firearms from Kel-Tec are all quality made right here in the U.S. of A. So, again, game-changing innovation and performance with the new P15 9mm, the lightest, thinnest, and powerful. You don't lose stopping power, easily concealable. Learn more at KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Tell them that Dana sent you.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Hi, everyone. Ray Gunn here. I just want to start by thanking all the people who have supported me. I really appreciate the positivity, and I'm glad I was able to bring some joy into your lives. That's what I hoped. I didn't realize that that would also open the door to so much hate, which is frankly been pretty devastating.
You suck at breakdancing, and you went to the Olympics representing Australia dressed as like an 80s mom at her kid's soccer game with all like, I mean, the only thing missing was the windbreaker. What in the world? Like, who did you with that outfit, by the way? But also, there's a lot of questions as to how that chick, her name's Rachel Gunn, she calls herself Ray Gunn, how she even made it to Australia. I mean, she did the kangaroo hop, and her, I guess the best way to describe her routine was, look what I can do. Like what a little kid says, like Mad TV, you know, look what I can do. Stuart! If you've never seen that skit, you need to see it. It's Mad TV and it's Stuart. Stuart! Look what I can do, huh? That was her whole thing. That was her whole skit. That was it. That was her whole routine. And then she kangaroo hopped. She did the cobra. That is an actual move. That's a breakdance move from Ray Gunn that I just did.
She do the lawn sprinkler and everything?
Yeah, it's like literally the one time that you can watch something in the Olympics and go, I could do that, and you can. That's the thing, in your living room, that you can do it and compete. You could have done it right there, you know? Good night. All right, we got a lot more on the way, including, I'm not done with the tax on tips thing. I want to explain why you deserve to ask for more. Way more. And fisking the Kamalanomics. Stick with us. I love Black Rifle Coffee. I will not drink anything else. Like when I travel, I try to actually take some with me. When we went on vacation, I literally took some with me. And because I can't stand, everybody else's coffee is just garbage. When you drink the best coffee out there, you cannot drink anything else. And Black Rifle Coffee has the best beans, the finest coffee beans from award-winning farms worldwide, explosive roast profiles. Now, you might think all this fancy sounding stuff might make it super expensive. It's not. It's veteran-owned, veteran-run. These are average, everyday people. They've dedicated their mission to their mission of making great coffee, but they also support veteran and first responder causes. And this is evident, everything in the way that they approach their business to their bag art, it all pays homage to it. Now, you can join the coffee club, which is what I've done, because I hate running out of coffee and I go through a lot of it. You join the coffee club, you choose what roast you want, your frequency of shipment, and it's sent to your doorstep with free shipping. You're never going to run out of premium coffee. You love America, and that's who they want to help. Make sure that they have, make sure you have the best coffee out there. BlackRifleCoffee.com. Join the coffee club. When you go to the website, make a purchase, you're going to save 20% with code Dana. They also have ground whole bean K-cups, ready to drink, apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, and more. BlackRifleCoffee.com. Order today. Get 20% off using code Dana. Only at BlackRifleCoffee.com.
Like I have white guy tacos and
what is like that black, like mayonnaise and tuna? What are you doing?
Pretty much ground beef and cheese.
That's
and,
okay. Do yeah. you put any flavor in it?
No. Here's the deal. No, they said to be careful and let her know this, that black pepper is the top of the spice level in Minnesota, you know?
I'm the first vice president, I believe, who has ever grown chili peppers.
I'm trying to expand my food knowledge.
You know, we've got some cantaloupes. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
What the hell is this even? I'm not going to sit here and do interviews about my policy, but some conversation about tacos. Welcome back to the program where today everything is stupid. We got chonky white dude Minnesota tacos, skibbity toilet, and monkeypox. Yay! Dana Lash here with you at the top of the second hour. Buckle up. If you're listening to us, obviously, you can listen to us on the radio. You can watch us. If you're watching me, you're watching me. Oh, Channel 347 DirecTV, also Rumble, where the conversation happens, X. So I don't know what the hell this was. What was this about? You stupid white person and your tacos. Who eats tacos like that, first off, with the mayonnaise and tuna? That's not a taco. That's like a fancy tostada.
But then he said meat and
sushi
cheese.
Sushi style.
And meat and cheese is literally what you
That's
put
what
in your
you
taco.
That's what you put in a taco. I've been at the border. I've been to Latin American country. Guess what? That's what they put on there. What? You mean Hispanic people have access to things like meat and cheese?
I think the white people part, though, was the fact that they didn't season it, right? Like it's not seasoned.
Like, okay, can so I just say that people fun. Who think that like Mexican food or South America is like super seasoned, they're messed up. It's not. Not everything is flipping Tex-Mex, guys. I mean, it's actually, it's stark. There's a stark contrast. Kane, I think you'll agree.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can actually taste the meat. It's not just like all, here's a half a bottle of some spices. I mean, there's spice and there's hot sauce, but I've noticed that it's always these, like, limousine liberals who think that Hispanic people have way more spice and sauce than, and you can't taste anything.
What did Hillary have in her purse?
She fake carried hot sauce in her purse.
She sure did.
That's why she got to say that it was racist to not vote for her. Remember in 2016? Because she carried hot sauce on her swag bag. That's what it, just saying. Oh my gosh. Oh, L-O-R-T. Oh my lord. Just can't even. So some of the responses to this, Kamala's relaxed and confident demeanor and Waltz's self-deprecating humor, none of it was funny. Yes, people, I know this is like really apparently funny to Marxist boomers, but some people like different levels of spice. Okay, and I mean, this looks, it's staged and it looks contrived. And I don't even know, this is how they're trying to humanize themselves. They're so bad. It's like trying to watch two robots humanize themselves. I also like tacos. I like tacos too. What do you put on your tacos? Meat and cheese. It's like, okay, good job, guys. Food, I put food on my tacos. I mean, just so stupid. And then she's all, I was actually the first vice president to grow chili peppers. Oh my God. Well, is that why you didn't make sure that there were tax cuts or anything else, or that, you know, we had a secured border because you're too busy growing chili peppers? Is that why? I'm just curious. Is that why? Golly, and the people who are falling all over this is so dumb. I don't know. I can't. By the way, isn't this kind of bigoted? It seems like she's making fun of him. You stupid white person. Why don't you like seasonings? White people hate seasonings. That's what, I'm so tired of this, right? Didn't they freak out over the whole black jobs thing that Trump said?
Yep.
Okay, but this is okay.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
White tacos good, black jobs bad.
Yeah, okay, well. This is so just bad. I can't. It's very not good. It's just so cringe. And he tries to be off the cuff, and it's just not, neither of them can do it. He goes, well, I have white guy tacos. What the hell is a white guy taco? It's just ground beef and cheese. Do you have flavor in it? What does that mean? Spice? No, it has no flavor. It all tastes the same. It's amazing, Kamala. My favorite food and flavor and color is beige. Like me, because I'm a white guy. Let's not forget it. I'm just your standard fun white guy dad from Minnesota. Oh, I mean, that's their whole ad. Oh my gosh. I can't. This sounded so staged and it sounded so bad. And I don't know. But it's working on their base eats it up. They love it. I don't know. They think it's great. They love it. Can't even figure that one out, but there it is. All right. So, in addition, can we talk about her application on her website? Have you guys seen this? I don't have this on the rundown, but I was going to. So on her, when you go to her campaign website, they hit you with all these donations. Like, oh, let's donate here, donate here. If you want to volunteer, though, you got to sign up and use an application page, right? She doesn't have any policies on her website, but apparently there are like 9 pronouns you can pick.
Whoa.
Uh-huh.
Only 9? Seems limited.
Does it? Because I was like, I don't know what some of these are. So who and who is one? So you have like the basic, you know, your basic, boring, totally not special pronouns, right? You can pick he, him, she, her, they, them. You can also pick who. Fay, fair.
What?
Dude, I don't even know. There's like 18 of them. Fay, fair. What is that? Is that like if you're like a magical creature? I'm gonna go. I don't understand what that is. Either. What is? Hang on. Who pronoun? What does that even mean? Oh, for the love! It's a gender-neutral pronoun set derived from the word human. So it's who hum for human. But there's two of them still. So that's not gender neutral.
So
right?
It's binary? That's what you're saying?
Yeah, it's binary.
Oh. So is it next
who,
to
who?
A non-binary choice?
What is... Hang on. Now I got to look at the... Hang on. I got to look... What is the... Fae pronoun? Let's look at this. This is so stupid. I just want... Oh, it's not Celtic, apparently. What is this? What is fae? Why can't I just have it? Oh my gosh, you can actually say fair self. What? So somebody says that they can be fae as a gender, like a fairy? But then, they no, you know, I'm like still here on Google, page one scrolling, and there's actual literally no description yet. What's the definition of it? You can say fair self, they're neo pronouns. This is as close as I got. Neo pronouns or noun self pronouns. Oh, I guess it is fae folk. Oh my gosh. What? Really? Fae went to the store. So you have the nominative, accusative, pronominal, possessive. Fae walked fair dog today. Oh my God. Well, fae can go blank fair self. Okay? Like that. That helps you. Right? Oh. Fae can take fair self to hell. How about that? Like, see, does that make sense? So that's an actual thing. She has, I mean, tons of pronouns you can pick. You can't pick a single policy, but, you know, you can apparently go and you can have like a million pronouns that you can select. These are just, this is just dumb. So yeah, you have also, what is A, M, what? I don't even know what some of these are. I swear there's new ones, Kane. There are new ones. I'm positive that there are new
always
ones.
I'm always discovering ones I've never seen before. Always.
Z-Z-M.
I've heard of
A-M. E-Y-E-M. I'm right now years old hearing this one.
I've never seen that one.
A-M? Like there's they, them.
So they're a morning person.
So there's they, them, and just take off the th part. So instead of T-H-E-Y-T-H-E-M, it's just E-Y-E-M. Why?
What?
Okay, we're going to Google pronouns A-M. Oh my gosh.
What's it mean?
I don't even know.
Even Google doesn't know?
I guess if you're offended by...
What? By lisps? If you're offended by lisps, you're an M. Or an
oh my gosh. They can be used by anybody and they dropped. Yeah, that's literally it. Okay, so the person who, the nitwit who created this in 1975, Christine Elverson of Skokie, Illinois, won a contest by the Chicago Association of Business Communicators to find replacements for she and he and him and her. And she created A&M and air by dropping from the words. So you would say, A went to the store. I met him today. What? So that's the nominative and then accusative. And then you have the pronominal and possessive. A walked air dog today. Wait, or, yeah, what?
The majority of people that I see online have a hard time grasping English the way we grew up with.
Half of the people don't even know the difference between there and there.
Right.
Okay.
This is only making things worse.
This is going to make it dumber. This is making it dumber. I can't even. So then you have Z in here.
What?
Yeah. Okay, I'm confused. Guys, roll with me. So you have Z, and in case you haven't seen it, I'm going to make sure that we have this in Slack because it's literally the dumbest thing you're ever going to see. So you guys can see what's on it. So you have Z in here, Z-E, and then H-I-R, and then A and M, E-Y-E-M, and then... Is it Z and Zem, Z or XE and XEM? Like, what is the difference between XE and ZE? It's both Z.
What's the difference between who and who? Look at that right one.
That's what we're talking about. It's short for a human.
I know, but that's dumb. That is dumb.
Oh my gosh. That's what we got, ladies and gentlemen.
They're literally the same two letters.
Yeah. You get to pick your pronouns.
But because one's capitalized, I guess.
You're asking me things like I know this. This is Lewis Carroll is rolling his eyes and his body in his grave right now. Juan is showing you on the simulcast right now. I mean, dude. So can someone please? I don't understand the hoo-hoo. That sounds like a slang for somebody's noni is what it sounds like. I just. No, it's not, Kane. We're going to drive this car right all the way into the wall.
Too far!
Oh! So you can pick all of these pronouns while you're eating cat food in the desert. You'll have lots of time to think about it. Oh, my gosh! I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies. Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that, what I can, while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it hits hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Maybe you've heard about this from your kids. Maybe you haven't, but it's called Skibbity Toilet. Just maybe look for it on YouTube. Anyway, the Skibbity Toilet film and TV. Oh, yeah, there's a Skibbity Toilet film and TV franchise in the works. Michael Bay! Transformers, Michael Bay! And then the guy from Paramount. Apparently, they gave an interview and they're looking at it. Oh, my gosh! This is wild. I mean, lots of people are dying from dementia, but it's actually not dying from dementia. They're dying from old age is really what it is. And they just happen to have dementia. I hate these articles that are so misleading like this. This is coming from Yahoo News. But they say that it's the chances of dementia fatality increasing amongst every demographic group studied. And they call it's the National Institute on Aging. But it is because, like, there's more going into old age is ultimately what it is. This is actually hysterical. Wall Street Journal says Brazil's nude beaches have a problem. There ain't enough nudists. Yeah, they think that there's not enough nudists. That's their issue. I can't imagine having that as an issue.
I'm okay with it.
Wait, what? It's in Brazil. It's not like we're going to go down there to the beaches all the time. But they say that there's not enough nudists and that apparently that's like what some of their beaches are known for. And there's been a lot of they are socially conservative in different parts of Brazil. And they've actually hired naked guards and the Naturist Federation in the country, naked guards to try to keep clothed bathers off of the Abriquio Beach, which is a secluded stretch of sand in Rio de Janeiro, one of their remaining nudist beaches. So naked, any KKID, naked guards. And a California woman was mauled to death by a pack of 25 Great Danes that terrorized the community for years. That's insane. We got a lot more on the way. Don't go anywhere. Stick with us.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
By the way, I moved from Irish neighborhood in Scranton when it was cold. I moved down to Delaware. I was the only kid in the neighborhood named Zinski.
He's like barely, you can barely hear him when he talks. And that's us even like turning it up so you can hear. He's on the struggle bus. It's just, golly. They just do this kind of stuff, I think, to show that he's alive and he's here in the White House. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Bottom of this second hour. Oh, boy. So the Kamalanomics. We asked for a policy. We asked for something. And she showed us that she doesn't understand how math works. Along with tacos, apparently. So we were talking a little bit, and we're going to come back to it, the no tax on tips thing that she's trying to push. Democrats are eating this up, though, because they've released some of their policy points for her economic push. She wants to provide $25,000 as a down payment and support for first-time homebuyers. More generous support, though, goes to first-generation homebuyers, according to her campaign. She's traveling to New York City today, North Carolina today. She's also talking about incentivizing building homes for 3 million new homes. Just something, this is crazy. She wants to look at providing families who paid rent on time for 2 years buying their first home. That's the $25,000. 3 million new housing units, tax incentives for building starter homes. Lower rent by taking on corporate and major landlords. They want to stop Wall Street investors from purchasing homes in bulk. And they want $40 billion to help local governments find solutions, whatever the hell that means, to the lack of housing supply. Now, this was something that is greater than what Biden had proposed, which was $20 billion. What the hell does that mean? What does that even mean? Finding solutions. How much does it take to find? Hey, I can do it for free. Stop spending our damn money.
Thank you.
We're in a problem that was caused by us spending money. So we're going to spend more money to help the problem that we created by spending all that money. That's like screwing for chastity. It's not working. So the $40 billion, they want to identify what is happening with housing supply. And the solution, this is so dumb. Again, stop spending our money. Yes, that'll be $40 billion. Thank you. I just found out your solution. There it is. Stop spending our money. I don't know why. Well, this is a Marxist perception of what the government is what's going to happen with the government. And guess what? Home prices will increase because of this. If the government is subsidizing demand for starter homes, you're going to see starter homes become more expensive. And also, can I touch on the first gen thing? The idea that we have to pay for someone else to purchase a house after we've purchased our own home and have paid off your home, or if you're paying lease somewhere and you're paying your rent, that you have to pay for someone else to buy their own house simply because they're a first generation home buyer is one of the stupidest, most idiotic things I've ever heard of. I mean, how do you think, when we talk about the cost of college education and how it got so expensive and how that was really because you had the federal government that nationalized it. They federalized, consolidated all of that. And now they want this essentially the same thing to kind of happen with housing prices. What do you think is going to happen with housing when they know that they've got, you've got $25,000 government money that's going to go. And then you also have like all of these incentives for home builders. I mean, this good golly. This is just, it's dumb. Remember, colleges and universities increase tuition because you had the federal government that decided to federalize literally everything. They wanted to underwrite it and they wanted to give you more and more government-funded loans. And then everyone was shocked that the price increased. You have to have some ability to temper, to control the price. So you're going to see housing go up $25,000 per house. That's what's going to happen. And this is on top of now we're paying off people's college education. What, $168 billion that he quote-unquote canceled, meaning gave to everybody else. Now you're going to be buying everybody's houses, too. You, if you're trying to make something more affordable, you have to increase the supply and you have to minimize the demand for it. This is not going to do either of these things. You're subsidizing demand. This is the exact same move that they were doing, again, with colleges. This is dumb. And also, usually when you look at, you know, this is Econ 101, supply and demand in goods, services, things like that, then when you have a lot of people that want something, then they make it more available. And then you can see it. This is not applicable with housing, because when you have a lot of people that want certain houses and there's not a lot of houses that are available for them to purchase, the housing market is constricted, then you're going to see prices increase. That's and the same in reverse. When a lot of people want to sell houses and a lot of people are not wanting to buy them, prices go down. Kane, we have such an economic illiteracy in this country. I'm like, I can't even believe I have to like explain that it has to be explained that we have to tell anybody this, that the people listening out there actually have conversations with people that don't understand this. And as Kane said, you're forcing people to compete with a new $25,000 increase. That's exactly. And you worked for a while in this in real estate. So, you know,
yeah, I did mortgages. I originated loans for homes for quite a few years. And the government getting involved, which is why we had the 2008 collapse in the first place and the correction in the housing market in the first place, was because of this number we call inflation and the fact that the Fed has to either lower or raise the rate to combat what the government spends. It's always about government spending.
Yeah. And then you also have this whole 3 million new housing units. It's 1 million more than what Joe Biden had proposed. We build about, and this is, I'm going to make sure I get this. So this is census, and it's also, I saw it on RCP, about 1.5 to 1, a little over 1.5 million new privately owned housing units each year. You can't just say, okay, all of you construction workers, all of you contractors, all of you, you know, suppliers, you have to build this amount in the coming year. She wants to give tax credits to home builders, which is not the same thing as a tax cut. There is a difference. She wants to give a tax credit for companies that build, and this is the New York Times, build homes for first-time buyers. AIDS, and Wall Street Journal also noted this, AIDS didn't provide details on the plan, which would also require congressional approval. The plan echoes a proposal that have been put forward by previous economists that are advising the campaign on this issue. So, and per the Wall Street Journal, because I feel like this needs to be explained a little bit, there is a difference between a credit and a deduction. And I mean, the best way to explain it is that the deduction is what you are taking from what you owe in tax. And the credit is what, regardless of it, if it goes beyond what you owe in taxes, is what you get from the government. So this, she looks like she wants to reduce taxes on construction companies because she wants to generate. Well, wait a minute. I thought tax cuts. Wait a minute. Those damn big corporations. What? This sounds like a tax cut for the rich, Kane.
Not big corp. It's big gov.
Well, if she wants to have real estate developers and big companies, home building companies, if she's trying to reduce their taxes, Kane,
yeah.
I was told that there were no tax cuts for the rich in here. Oh, wait a minute. You mean she lied? Everyone's shocked?
No, what?
What? That's so crazy. That's so crazy.
It almost always happens. I mean, never happens.
Never. Almost always never happens. Exactly. Exactly. And then we have the no tax on tips that we were discussing, which I'm not a fan. I wanted to look. This was a great thing at the Tax Foundation where they were comparing different workers, different in the hospitality industry. Right. So they looked at, let's look at this. There's a cashier named Tracy and a waitress named Susan. This is over at Tax Foundation. Tracy and Susan each earn $34,000 in income. Tracy receives all of her income and wages. Susan receives $19,000 in wage income and $15,000 in tips. Now, under the status quo, they each take the standard deduction and end up paying around $2,100 in taxes. Under the no tax on tips proposal, Tracy sees no tax cut. However, Susan is able to take the new above line deduction for tip income, reducing her adjusted gross income by $15,000. That deduction requires or reduces Tracy's taxable income to just $4,400, leaving her to pay only $440 in federal income taxes, resulting in a tax cut of more than $1,600. On the other hand, increasing the standard deduction by $6,000 would provide both Tracy and Susan with a $720 tax cut. Now, there's tons of these types of comparisons in the economy, right, in our system. This is why it doesn't, the no tax on tip thing doesn't make sense. It's a campaign promise. It's not a sustainable, well thought out policy for reform, which I think we all deserve. And I think especially people in industries that were so hit by shutdowns and everything else, I think that people deserve more than that. I don't know why we don't treat income equally. I don't know why it's this Marxist idea that we have to penalize people that have a skilled trade or penalize people if they went, you know, all of this. It doesn't make any sense. And it also doesn't take into consideration non-tip workers, as we were just talking about. But lawmakers could reduce the incentive to recharacterize income. They could put a cap on the amount of tip income that could be exempted. There's a ton of things that this also leaves them to do. This is not a sustainable policy that I think makes sense, nor do I think is workable. And I also think that there are different ways to get around it. And that's the other reason why I say that it's not workable, because there's ways that you can actually get around it. I don't understand why it's fair to ask some lower income workers to pay tax bills that are, you know, as the example that I just gave to you from the Tax Foundation, anywhere from 2 to 3 times higher than what other workers who earn the same amount we get. That's because that's exactly what the no tax on tips policy does. Now, I'm all for, no, I don't think you should have your income taxed. I think it's insane that you have to have things. Case in point, I was thinking about, first off, I hate the idea of selling any, like, classifieds are different. Now, you can sell stuff on Facebook Marketplace. It's not like I can just put my name and, you know, likeness out there and be like, hey, come in, you know, I got something for sale, I'm selling something. But the way that Facebook structures it, you have to pay taxes on it. Remember? That's all because of the Inflation Reduction Act that they signed. All your Venmo transactions, the scrutiny for tips, all of that stuff is due to the legislation that passed because she, as president of the Senate, as vice president, was the determining vote. So you pay taxes on income. You pay taxes when you purchase something. Now you're going to have to pay taxes if you sell it. And then you're going to be just harassed by the IRS if you don't. It is the dumbest thing ever. You're taxed when you die. You're taxed if you don't die. My gosh, there's no way out. There is no way out. This is not a solution. And it also only goes into, like I said, $38 billion in taxes on tips. It's such an infinitesimal amount in the whole, considering that the government collects $7 trillion in taxes. I know. Only in D.C. would you say $38 billion is not a lot. But when you compare it to $7 trillion in overall taxes and that revenue, you see what I'm saying? There's so many other things that could be done better. We're going to talk about the austerity that's needed that Republicans don't have the spine to do, and definitely not Democrats. But it can't be the Santa Claus off.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
A Florida man in Port Orange, Charles Nelson, was booked into Volusia County Jail because he snatched the purses from two women, one 77-year-old and one 64-year-old. The 64-year-old said Nelson jumped her in the CVS parking lot. She said she didn't notice him at the time. As she was getting into her car, he ran, huffing and puffing. She said it was about 9:30 in the morning. And she said as he was taking her purse, she was so shocked, he knocked her over. And then just pulled it really hard. And then she said, before he ran away, he said, "I'm sorry, ma'am." He didn't get far. They were able to catch him. He confessed to both. And then another, apparently, in South Daytona. And so she was able to get everything back, but she said she's going to carry mace or, I'm just saying, or a gun. You'd carry a firearm to protect your life. But Dana, why would you risk your, why would you, somebody's life for possessions? They're the ones who are gambling their lives to steal possessions, not you protecting what you have in your life. You have no idea. Are you supposed to guess when someone comes running up to you, like what it is that they intend to do? Good grief. Also, this is just so dumb. So this guy is a prohibited possessor. He's apparently a violent felon, and he was live streaming on social media. This 21-year-old apparently has a long record. And while he was streaming on social media, he shot himself in the leg by accident. Yeah, for clicks, apparently. No, he was in possession of a sawed-off shotgun. Deputies with the Hernando County Sheriff's Office responded after he shot himself in the leg. He had posted photos of himself on social media, even though he literally is a felon and is not allowed to possess a firearm, was still showing that he was in possession. And then he shot himself during a live stream. You can't make this stuff up. We have our third hour on the way. Don't go anywhere. More of the Dana Show after this.
Well, it's really not at the grocery store level. This is at the corporate level, Willie. They've been making record profits. We've never seen the kind of profits in corporate America the last couple of years. And when they're doing that, they're bragging about increasing prices. So my point is that we should give the federal government the power to investigate just run-of-the-mill price gouging.
What price gouging is he talking about? That's Senator Bob Casey, who I feel like has no clue as to what actual people go through and what they're paying in terms of groceries and everyday items. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you at the top of this third hour. And you can also find us Channel 347, DirecTV, Rumble, where the discussion happens, and X as well. It's posted over at X, too. This is all on the heels of these economic proposals that are coming from Kamala Harris. She's in North Carolina today. She's going to be unveiling her economic plan, which is, we've been talking about it. It's disastrous. I'm not a fan of the no tax on tips thing. I think that Republicans need to just be like, let's have no tax and let's reform this. That would be amazing. They're not going to do it. I'll talk about that in a moment. But this, Democrats are going right along with it. Bob Casey, like, yeah, we need to have price controls. They're just, you know, they've got out of control prices. Where is he getting that at? Because when I looked, and all of this stuff is available publicly, it's all public information. You know, when I'm looking at this stuff and I'm looking at how much everything is, and what the price, the profit margin is. So for supermarkets, so just for last year alone, the average profit margin for supermarkets on each item that they sold, right? Typically, it's between 1% to 3%. Last year, it was 1.18. Kroger was the highest, and that was the big outlier, 1.4. So what is he talking about price gouging? I mean, this isn't really, I mean, he has a whole staff that you fund, that taxpayers pay for. They can't look this stuff up for him as easily as I found it. He doesn't have people that can look this stuff up before he goes on national television and says this stuff. He, not only is he out of touch, but he doesn't care that he's out of touch. These people have no idea what supermarkets make. They have no idea about the profit margin for the items that these places sell. They think they want the government to control the prices on everything, which, by the way, that's going to be disastrous and lead to scarcity. You're really going to reduce the profit margin by that. This isn't, I think it's insane that anyone thinks that a 1.4% profit margin is excessive. That is nuts. But that's what they think. They're like, oh my gosh, how much do they make with insider trading in Congress? That's what I'd like to know. If you want to have a discussion about excessive greed or price gouging, let's talk about the price gouging that we're getting, $40 billion that they want to sit here and spend on, you know, buying solutions, looking at solutions for the housing, what they think is a housing crisis. That's excessive greed. What gets me, and Kane makes this point, Kane, ask your question.
Do they honestly think there's room to take from quote unquote big grocery with that 1.4% margin? Where are you going to take it from? Where are you going to take it from?
That's
anything less than that, it's not sustainable. You can't continue the electricity. You can't pay for the electricity to keep the refrigerators and freezers and the lights and everything else on. You can't do it. The government control is the worst. Those are the two worst words you could ever hear.
It is amazing to see. I mean, I just can't believe that they think that the reason they keep targeting grocery stores is because that's where everybody's feeling the pinch most immediately. That's where they see it the most. I mean, people have been sharing their like before and after Inflation Reduction Act Instacart receipts, and you can see how much things have gone up in a year. It's been very interesting to see that. They have super thin margins already. That's the crazy thing about this. They already have super thin margins. I just don't know why. I mean, it's 1-3%, and it's been 1.18, and that's the average, with Kroger kind of like bringing it up with 1.4. I don't know where they get that as well. Like, I really don't know where they I don't know where they take that from. And I know it's the amount of stuff that they sell and the turnover on it. But what do you think is going to happen when you start affecting a control and you state that you got to have this amount, like you can only sell it for the, I mean, oh my gosh, you're going to see, not only are you going to see scarcity in terms of certain items, but you're going to see fewer items sold. And that's one of the reasons why they can stay in business, even though they might have a small profit margin on certain items. They sell a lot of certain items. It's like McDonald's selling hamburgers. You know, they have a smaller profit margin on, you know, a hamburger. But how many, what's the sign that they say, like a million sold or something like that on their signs? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why they're able to make a profit on it. Yeah, and Kane asks, what about loss leaders? Keep in mind that the people who are coming up with this, Kamala Harris, she and Tim Walz, who has no property. Although I did have a listener say that they in Minnesota say that Tim Walz puts a lot of his stuff in third party, puts a lot of it like in trust and all this other stuff. So he, you know, is limited from scrutiny on it, which would kind of make sense because he shows nothing in his own name, like no investments, no savings, nothing, no property. It's crazy. I don't want those type of people making these determinations as to our money. I mean, this is crazy. Everywhere that they have ever implemented price controls, even in France, it's failed. In the Soviet Russia, it's failed. In Venezuela, it's failed. In Cuba, it has failed. It has failed every single place that it has ever been implemented. But they think that, I don't know where they think that, how much money they think they're going to get off of that. Again, $7 trillion in revenue that they bring in. Why is government running into the red with us? Maybe because they keep giving our money to Ukraine and they keep spending it on entitlements and, you know, things like we're going to do $40 billion to look at solutions for housing. Maybe that's what one of the things we're going to look at. 70% of tax cuts, again, 2001 to 2017, went to middle and lower classes. So this whole tax cut for the rich thing is stupid. But here's the other thing, too, I wanted to mention. And where's the media on this? Hang on. This is what I wanted to make sure I touched before we. So there is. Let me hit on this first. I mentioned this first hour. We're spending more paying interest in federal debt than we pay on Medicaid and defense, which constitutionally we're obligated to pay. We are never going to have a balanced budget. And we're never going to rein this in because the austerity that requires it necessitates a spine. Nobody has that. By 2034, Social Security and Medicare will collect $2.6 trillion annually in payroll taxes and other revenue while spending nearly $5 trillion in benefits and other associated costs. Now, people are kind of wringing their hands over how do you solve it? Do you raise the eligibility age? Do you curtail payment? You know, how do you do that? They want to make people who are on the higher end of the income spectrum pay to make it cheaper for all the other everybody else. I mean, there is no other way. This is crazy. And this is the situation that we're in. I have this. Let me pull this up on my... because I mentioned, speaking of Medicare and all of that, the, here it is, the EV story, and how part of the Inflation Reduction Act was to raid that, to rob Medicare, the fund to pay off the EV stuff, right? So we talked about this. I sent this out. If you sign up to the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse, this is one of the things that I had sent out, because that was in the Inflation Reduction Act. And I'm going to restart this here real quick. That was in the Inflation Reduction Act to be able to subsidize the Green New Deal dream that Biden has, that Democrats have. They needed to find that money, and it had to come from somewhere. And so where is that money going to come from? Well, let's look at Medicare. Let's look and see what we can find here. So that's exactly what they did. And then they're trying to bait and switch you. So they robbed the Medicare fund to pay for EVs, their Green New Deal EV thing. That was the tax credits for EVs. And remember, we were explaining the difference between tax credits and tax cuts. It was the Medicare trust fund. They wanted to hide the premium hikes until after November, because there are going to be some big premium hikes. They wanted to hide it till after November. This is how the media is celebrating this. They're acting like it's a big win that Kamala Harris got. Taxpayers are going to save so much money from the Inflation Reduction Act. It was mentioned in Daily Mail. There's all these other, with Medicare and Part D. Oh, look at this. Taxpayers we're saving. They're not, the Democrats stopped the hike. There's not going to be a price hike. Look at this. We're getting a cut. This is how the media is portraying this. And it's not that at all. She's acting like she has a plan to lower the costs. Does she have a plan to undo her vote that passed this? I'm just curious. And this taxpayer money, this is a great report that came over. It was Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. Maya McGinnis was talking about this. And they're saying that it's all to shield, going into the election, Biden-Harris, from criticism over this. They're leveraging these taxpayer funds to hide the major increases in Medicare premiums, because the Inflation Reduction Act, it was supposed to cap out-of-pocket drug costs for Medicare beneficiaries, and insurers were going to, they were going to really jack up the monthly premiums. The average bids for Part D, they were going to triple by 2025. That's in next year. So the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, they rolled out this 3-year demonstration project to subsidize the premiums to keep them artificially low. This is where the media is getting, oh, we got a cut. Look, taxpayers, you get all this. But it looks like it's relief, but it's not relief. It's a dramatic increase in subsidies that are going to be funded by the taxpayer. You got $30 recipient per month in 2024. That's going to fly up to over $142 in 2025. This is all because of long-term spending carried out by the government. You're just shifting costs. This is not giving you any kind of relief. I mean, they've absolutely just destroyed the Part D premiums is what they've done. I mean, oh my gosh, tripling by next year. Now, the argument is that, and one of the people advising the Trump camp said that they don't think it would survive legal scrutiny should someone want to sue. Can you believe that? It probably can't, but it would take someone suing, because the government's not doing anything to stop anything like this. They're looking at $5 to $10 billion of taxpayer dollars, and we're all paying for it. Now, this was just a 3-year demonstration, remember? Premiums are still going to go up. So this isn't saving anything. It's not cutting anything. It's fake. In fact, the Paragon Health Institute told Fox News that the demo was, quote, a fake, costly demonstration. And the media is presenting it as though everybody's getting this nice cut. They're getting relief. Look at that. Are you buying it?
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
If you're going to do the melting candy thing that everybody's doing on TikTok, Just seriously, you've got to be way careful with this. This 9-year-old boy in Fayette County ended up in the hospital. He and his mom tried it. They melt Jolly Ranchers down. I don't know why you would do it in a bowl in the microwave. I would be like, do it in a stovetop in a pot that you're, you know, not going to miss if you don't do it right. And then you dip grapes into it using a toothpick, and it gives it a hard candy coating. And so she literally had her 9-year-old carry the scalding hot liquid bowl of candy from the microwave where he tripped and spilled it on his hand, and he got second-degree burns. Because it's 350 degrees is the melting point. So it's 100 degrees hotter than water. Just stop it. Not everything that social media, I have to tell you, Kane, remind me to tell you of my experience at a restaurant where there were influencers last night, because, oh my gosh, I'm so tired of social media stuff. Let's see, a Minnesota woman floors the gas pedal, rams her boyfriend into the windshield on the way to couples therapy. Yeah, well, so she, good night. The 30-year-old Veronica Gast is facing charges of second-degree assault and criminal vehicular operation, domestic assault. And she drove with her boyfriend to a therapy session to work on the relationship. If you're not even married and you need therapy, then maybe it's not meant to be. If you are a couple and you already have to have therapy and you're just boyfriend and girlfriend, stop. Don't get married. Break up. Stop it. That's ridiculous. And so she rammed him into the windshield. She stopped the car in the middle of the road, made him get out. He exited, walked in front of the car, heading for the sidewalk. And as he passed, she locked eyes with him and accelerated, trying to run him over. That sounds like attempted murder. Yeah. That's like not domestic assault. I think she'd still... Did she get domestic assault because it's a chick? Because if that was a dude that tried to run a chick over, that guy would be... They would be charging him with attempted murder. And she looks nuts, I'm just going to say. She seems like she's crazy. So he had like a lacerated elbow and all of this other stuff. And the defendant said she slowed down and stopped to call the police. She was in shock and she didn't stop right off the way, but did let off the gas, said the police. That's crazy. All right, coming up, we got a lot more still to get into because Harris is now speaking. She's laying out her economic plan to bankrupt America. Stick with us.
Not able to catch the full Dana Show? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
In infrastructure, in chips manufacturing, in clean energy. And new numbers this week alone show that inflation is down under 3%. And as President of the United States, it will be my intention to build on the foundation of this progress. Still, we know that many Americans don't yet feel that progress in their daily lives. Costs are still too high. And on a deeper level, for too many people, no matter how much they work, it feels so hard to just be able to get ahead. As President, I will be laser focused on creating opportunities for the middle class that advance their economic security, stability, and dignity. Together, we will build what I call an opportunity economy. An opportunity economy. An economy where everyone can compete and have a real chance to succeed. Everyone, regardless of who they are or where they start, has an opportunity to build wealth for themselves and their children. And where we remove the barriers to opportunity so anyone who wants to start a business or advance their career can access the tools and the resources that are necessary to do so. I will focus on cutting needless bureaucracy and unnecessary regulatory red tape.
How?
And encouraging innovative technologies while protecting.
This is all just vagary. What I've heard so far, and this is her speech just slightly delayed so you could hear that part. Welcome back, bottom of this third hour. What I heard from her just there is, we're going to give you money, and that's what we consider to be the tool for equal opportunity. That's how she's viewing it, because that's what they're doing with the housing stuff. That's what they're doing, what they've done with college education. That's what they're trying to do with everything, is free all the things, medical debt, everything else. It's, everything's free. Not really free. It's going to be by the expense of the working class, and because they paid, according to figures that are available from the IRS between 01 and 17 and still going on. I mean, they end up, it's not going to, they're the people that are really just getting slammed. This is crazy. Welcome back. Like I said, this is, she's in North Carolina. She is speaking about laying out some of her, this all vagary nonsense. What the hell does that even mean? What do you mean? The opportunity employment. What does that even mean? What the hell does that mean?
It's an opportunity economy.
What is that?
You have opportunity.
To do what?
Engage in the economy.
Well, you can't when the government's in the way. True. I just, can I hear her real quick? Is she talking about food companies? Throw this in my ear. I want to see if this is big grocery. Is this big grocery?
So believe me, as president, I will go after the bad actors.
And here we go. Price controls, guys.
And I will work to pass the first ever federal ban on price gauging on food.
Price gauging? You can't even talk. You mean gouging?
My plan will include new penalties for opportunistic companies that exploit crises and break the rules. And we will support smaller food businesses that are trying to play by the rules and get ahead.
I'm sorry. Okay, stop. Stop it. What food businesses specifically, you know, food businesses, business numbers. That's like, what does that even mean? Kane, what food business?
You mean like groceries?
Yeah, that's a food business. Like, she's so vague. Like, just, what are you talking about? Farmers, where the food comes from? Ranchers, the suppliers? Restaurant, like, what are you talking about? What is she talking about?
They want their claws in everything important, our food supply.
Why does the FTC get to determine what a flipping dozen eggs cost in Dallas? Thank you. Why does the FTC get to tell you how much your milk costs in Arkansas? These people? Like I said, their profit margins just were 1.18. That was this year. This past year. On average, that's what they got. What is she talking about price gouging? How are you price gouging? That's called inflation because you won't stop spending. And you absolute rat bastard cowards are using using as a scapegoat grocers, farmers, ranchers. You're using them as a scapegoat for your big spending. And they want to spend even more. I mean, that's all I'm hearing. They're using all of our bread baskets as their shield to deflect accountability for their big spending policies. Farmers and ranchers and everybody else should be up in arms over this. What kind of regulations? She's like, I'm going to cut regulations. No, I just keep hearing her say that she wants to cut regulations, but then all the policies that she mentions right after she says it actually introduce more regulations. That's literally what she was just talking about.
Well, and then we're going to have penalties for the price gouging and, et cetera. And that's what we're doing.
I have to tell you, last night we were at dinner. Went to like a sushi place. And they cut up like a big tuna. I can't remember how many pounds it was. They cut up this big tuna there, and you can purchase some meat off it. I didn't eat off that, but you can buy some meat off it. And I've seen influencers before, but I've never seen like a whole influencer op in the wild like I did. And I watched this table of chicks, and I thought they were really, I mean, they were dressed very nice. Overdressed maybe for the restaurant? Probably. But they were going up to the fish, and taking pictures with it, you know, trout pout, ironically, and, you know, peace sign and taking pictures with it and all that stuff. And I thought it was interesting that there was another girl that was with them that held up a giant light. One of them had like a Nikon camera with a giant light on it, and they all had like ring lights and all this other stuff. They were sitting at their table. And the reason why I noticed it is because I saw it at the corner of my eye, just like the a ball of sun. And I look over, and there was an entire table. I took a quick picture of it. I put it up on my Instagram stories. There was an entire table of they all had their own lights. And I don't know how long their food sat there. Like, I'm just like, if you're getting, you know, fresh fish, you're getting sushi, you kind of want to eat it kind of quick. You don't want it to sit there. You know what I'm saying? And it was like 15 minutes that they were taking pictures of stuff. Kane, they could not have been over 25. And I'm looking at them doing this. They all had their, and it got to the point they had a tripod. It got to the point that it was like, if you were sitting by them, that would have been distracting. You know, it's, you know, in the late in the evening, you got certain lighting in the restaurant. You know, if you're trying to take advantage of that, you don't want to be sitting next to a table where they have every godforsaken light on their food. And they're all like, yeah, you know, doing that. I'm just like, can you just take a regular phone picture of your food like a normal person? And, you know, I'm like, I don't even think that, you know, I think that's overlit and you guys are not lighting experts and this is just overkill. It was crazy. And there was a table, people next to them, that I could tell they were annoyed because they kept getting up and doing, and like they were taking turns getting into the photo. And that mean they kept having to get up and kept having to bump the chair of the next person by them. And they had all the lights there. And I knew that that other table was getting aggravated. I've never seen a whole op like that in the wild before, though. It was a big thing. And I'm like, together they probably have 13,000 followers. And they're doing all of this stuff. And the other table, I could totally tell. It looked like a double date. I could totally tell they were getting aggravated. I could tell. So because the one woman, she had her purse on part of her chair and it dropped when she got bumped. And she was, oh my gosh, it was a big ordeal. Anyway. But I was reading this. I was reading this piece about the social media consumption and about influencers. And there's this belief that it's dying as it relates to dictating retail and a lot of consumer practices, because people are getting turned off by the influencer stuff. They're getting turned off on it partly. And what's funny is because of the horrible economy that all these leftist governments have created. Because people are broke, and the last thing that they want to see are influencers taking pictures of all their bougie stuff and then trying to get you to buy it online. You know, that's like part of the problem, this is one of the reasons why I think it's so hysterical that Harry Walls, they are trying to hire influencers to sell their policies, and their policies are bougie things that people can't afford, you know? I mean, you're sitting here talking about increasing the cost of food and having and introducing scarcity through Venezuelan price controls. That's crazy. Having a belief set like that is a luxury that people cannot afford. And the left thinks that it makes you look edgy. And the left loves doing things that try to make them look edgy with when they have personality deficits. They try to offset it in other stupid ways. Like, I'm a Marxist, right? It's like how the fat, ugly goth chicks, not all of them are fat and ugly, but they decide to be like edgy because they can't be like the Barbie types. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I think why you get, you know, some of the people and you get, I'm just going to say it's a personality deficit that leads you to adopt stupid mannerisms and attributes as a way to set yourself apart from everyone else. That's really what it is. And I was thinking about this. All of this stuff was just like floating around in my head as I'm watching someone light a piece of fish at their table, right? And I'm thinking, because in Italy, it kicked off. They had this big influencer in Italy who got in trouble over a Pandoro, over a cake, a Christmas cake that was supposed to raise money for some sick kids hospital in Milan. Turns out they donated a couple thousand and they weren't actually going to donate anything else beyond that. And they got in big trouble because Italy doesn't like that stuff. And so, you know, yeah, they got more laws than I'm comfortable with, but they didn't like it. And and it was like the number one influencer over there. I can't even say her name, but she's like the number one influencer does all these products. Well, now she's taken a major hit. She already is going through her Blake Lively era right now. And she's taken a major hit. And all of these companies are canceled. Like Pepsi had a whole deal that they were doing with her. They canceled. There was another company. And now all of these corporations are going, do we really want to tie the success of our product or a launch or something like this to an infallible or to a totally fallible social media personality? They're all questioning this. And this is having a ripple effect. It's all going down. And now all these influencers are starting to get a little nervous. That coupled with the fact that everybody's broke. People are broke. They cannot sit here and look at what's on your social media profile that you're trying to influence them to buy and go out and buy it. I used to be way much more active on social media, but all the influencing killed my interest in it. I know, coincidentally. I don't know what you follow on Instagram. You can't go on, although most of my stuff is puppies.
Posted what was kind of related to your story.
Yeah.
I think people are starting to see it like that more now.
Yeah.
The way you're describing it. Before it was like, oh yeah, interesting. That's a great idea. Look at that. It's getting viral.
They were putting something up I don't want to say consequence, as a result of living.
Right.
And then the people that are unsuspecting, they're going to be like, well, I want to do that too. I think that's great.
Yeah, this one food influencer that Kane shared with me was slammed online. He posted an unhinged video of himself at a Las Vegas all-you-can-eat lobster buffet. He's got 1.6 million followers on social media. And people were mad. They said the gluttony, the narcissism, and privilege unfold. I think you do need to be sensitive just because you want to be a good person when other people are suffering. Because there's a point where people like to live their... some people will live their lives vicariously through other individuals. But at some point, it becomes like... it's like you're taunting with all this stuff. You know what I mean? It really is. It seems like that. But social media used to be you were posting stuff that you did as a result of living life. And I was thinking about it. You know, I'm like, these people that are filming these experiences and doing all of this stuff, are you actually experiencing it, or are you actually shortchanging your audience because you're too busy trying to capture the moment and live the moment? So you're giving them an anemic view of what the experience is because you're not actually fully experiencing it yourself. That's why social media influencing needs to die a horrible death. It needs to just totally die and go away. And we need to go back to like actually, you know, people living their lives and, you know, oh, here's, I'm doing this or I had that, you know, that's fine. But all this like contrived stuff, I hope it spreads. I hope that Italy stuff spreads.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
We see that contrast clearly in many ways, including when it comes to how we think about the economy. So our country has come a long way since President Biden and I took office. Yeah. At that time, we sadly remember the millions of Americans that were out of work. We were facing one of the worst economic crises in modern history.
Because you wanted a shutdown.
And today, by virtually every measure, our economy is the strongest in the world.
Well, it isn't as strong because they've, in spite of everything that Democrats have tried to do, it's still kind of tickering along, but who knows? There was a really interesting piece over at New York Post. There's no upside to Harris's Soviet-style grocery price fixing. It's getting slammed by a lot of newspapers. We'll talk more about this next week. Today in Stupidity, Kane.
All right, Juan, you know this one. This is Kamala Harris. She just got done speaking, so you know there was plenty to dig from on this one. Listen to this.
A loaf of bread cost 50% more today than it did before the
pandemic.
Thanks
for the spending you greenlit.
Ground beef is up almost 50%.
Actually, we can measure when it kicked in.
That 50%, by the way, that 50% number is closer to where inflation actually is.
Just so
yeah,
you know.
That's so, inflation.
Thanks, Kamala.
Remember, $1.9 trillion. And then the Inflation Reduction Act. All the stimmy checks, you guys remember that? Yeah, that's her. All right, folks, that does it for this week. I will see some of you in Knoxville for the Gun Owners of America event on Saturday. And I will be back behind the mic with you on Monday. Find us on YouTube, Facebook, like and subscribe, Substack, Chapter and Verse as well. Have a great weekend.